This is Monday, January 23, 2017. Christian Wade, State House reporter, reports that a health care program that covers children from low and moderate income families could dry up without renewed federal support, potentially leaving millions uninsured. Lawmakers in Massachusetts are bracing for that possibility should Congress let funding lapse or tighten eligibility rules for the Children's Health Insurance Program. But plans for the state to pick up the tab, which could run in the hundreds of millions of dollars, face an uphill battle. Federal support for the program serving families who earn too much to qualify for Medicaid is set to expire September 30. Unless Congress votes to renew funding, advocates say 8.4 million children nationally, including 160,000 in Massachusetts, could be left without affordable health care coverage. Senator Barbara Letalian, Democrat from Andover, is primary sponsor of a measure to allow the state to take over the program and pick up the federal government's share. The North Shore's 911 emergency center may be moving to Middleton, Bill Newell reports.
Rick, Paul Layton writes on page 3 of the Salem News today. A communication center that connects hospitals and ambulances during medical emergencies in 59 communities could be moving from Lawrence to Middleton. The Northeast Central Medical Emergency Direction Center, which has been operating out of Lawrence General Hospital since the 1970s, is considering a move to the Essex County Regional Emergency Communication Center in Middleton. The Central Medical Emergency Center, or CMED, is one of four such centers in the state required by law to serve as a communications link between ambulances and hospitals. The center manages ambulance and paramedic traffic from accident scenes to emergency departments and then assures even distribution of patients based on severity of illness, geography, and available resources, according to the Lawrence General Hospital website. It is also a central resource for coordinated emergency response during natural disasters or other large-scale incidents. The Northeast Center has handled as many as 100,000 calls per year, said Jonathan Brickett, executive director of the nonprofit company that runs the center. It has three people on duty during the day and two at night. Brickett said the center operates out of a fairly small space in a room inside Lawrence General Hospital and was considering a move as part of a plan to update its equipment. The state hired a consultant last year to study the feasibility of moving the CMED Center to the Middleton area. Brickett said CMED is evaluating its operation and said the move is not on our radar right now. If the move does happen, the CMED operation would become the third function performed at the Essex County Regional Emergency Communication Center, which opened in 2011 next to the Middleton Jail. The RECC, as it is known, answers 911 cell phone calls made in Essex County, Northern Middlesex County, and three communities in Suffolk County, as well as all emergency 911 calls for Amesbury, Essex, Middleton, Topsfield, and Wenham. It opened in 2011 next to the Middleton Jail. I'm Bill Newell for North Shore Today on MSO News Sports. Rick?
All right, Bill, thank you very much. Gayla Colley writes on itemlive.com. Town officials have seen enough from the Swampscott Veterans of Foreign Wars, VFW Post 1240, and have opted to temporarily suspend the bar's liquor license after four violations in less than a year's time. The liquor license was suspended for 30 days, effective January 27. The VFW can start serving alcohol again on February 27, but only until 8 p.m. for another 30 days. Their bar usually remains open until 12 a.m. During that time period, all of the bartenders would be required to attend Alcoholic Beverages Control Commission training. Management is required to come before the Board of Selectmen again in April. Naomi Dreeben, chairwoman of the Board of Selectmen, said the VFW's license had not been suspended previously, but after viewing their four infractions, the selectmen felt that something major had to happen. The infractions were presented during a disciplinary hearing last Wednesday with Swampscott Police Chief Ronald Madigan and Detective Ted Delano present. Mary Marcos writes in the Gloucester Times, there were so many people in D.C., for the Women's March on Washington that it was actually officially canceled, according to a Gloucester author. Homeland Security wouldn't allow those gathered to march because organizers had only gotten a permit for 200,000 people and the minimum estimate was 500,000. Gloucester resident and author Joanne Hart is quoted as saying, "We couldn't move, we couldn't even breathe. Her daughter couldn't even bend over to tie her own shoe." Hart and her daughters were among 36 Gloucester residents who left the city on a skedaddle bus at midnight Saturday to get to Washington by 5 a.m. Hart said there were many mothers and a few middle school-aged daughters among the riders who were excited for the protest, and she said it was certainly an experience they won't soon forget. The rally was supposed to go from 10 a.m. to 1:15 p.m., and then there would be a march a little over a mile to the White House, but she again is quoted as saying, "The rally kept going on and on and on and on, and I guess they were afraid to tell us." Rockport rider Heather Atwood's skedaddle bus to the Capitol for the Women's March in Washington was canceled on Friday at 11 p.m., an hour before she was supposed to leave, so Saturday she hopped on a train to the one-mile march in Boston instead. Atwood decided to make a last-minute journey to Boston alone, but when she walked to the Rockport train station, she bumped into a lot of familiar faces, and she's quoted as saying, "Rather than being in Washington with hundreds of thousands of people she didn't know," she said of the train ride, "it's been really, really lovely because it's like being with a bunch of family." This is North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com.